see it in the movies and the paper and the TV news. Somebody's army is always on the move. There's gonna be a battle. The lines have been drawn. They got guns and tanks and planes. The wells are gone dry and the water is bad. And the air is acid rain. There's a rumbling in the ground, and they're talking about the beast. Good mother's cry calls, the rivers run high with the blood of too many sons. Some people say peace is on the way, but the worst is still to come. 'Cause the prophets wrote about it, and Jesus spoke about it, and John got to take a look. And he told us what he saw, and it's easy to see. It's going by the book. It's going by the book. Cities and the missiles stand ready for flight. A pale horse rides like the wind across the night. And that rumbling in the desert like thunder getting closer. Are the trumpets getting ready to blow? There's gonna be a shout that will wake the dead. We better be ready to go. The prophets wrote about it, and Jesus spoke about it, and John got to take a look. And he told us what he saw, and it's easy to see. It's going by the book. It's going by the book.
Oh, yeah. Hey, welcome to the Watchful for Jesus Bible Study. Another pace, another place. Nope, same place, just different pace. Oh gosh, I just made that up. Family, welcome to my Bible study for this evening. I hope to have an action-packed this evening for you. Family, we're going to talk about, because I like to hit the ground running, the poison fruit of what's called the serpent seed. The poison fruit of the serpent seed. They're trying in so much, well, not really, it's not even subtle, actually, certain ways to try to get us to turn away from Jesus, to downgrade the Bible. Article came out today. Remember, the articles, I look for articles based on Humanist Manifesto, the agenda, there's so many agendas, but they're all connected. And how the articles are like teaching points. It's like we're in a worldwide classroom of brainwashing. It's like MK Ultra worldwide. You know, I've explained earlier today, many times, regular listeners, you've heard me go over and over and over, how they use articles and they spit them out in different places, like shotgunning it. And 90%, now, you all that's listening tonight, and those that's listening to my broadcast, during the broadcasts, and we talk about New World Order and all that stuff, you've heard me say many times how they make the articles viral and so forth. Well, we're like in a big classroom, and the classroom is worldwide. But, you know, you all listen, you all watch, you all research and analyze and so forth, you wouldn't be here in the first place. So I'm pretty much preaching to the choir, or whatever you want to call it. So really, sometimes I'm preaching to those not listening, that these broadcasts, these Bible studies will get out to others. Or it reaffirms, because when you all send me emails or say things with Tom, you know, I was thinking, it reaffirms. Like, I don't know everything by no stretch of the imagination. So when I hear things back from people, it like reaffirms what I thought I knew, and it just kind of reaffirms it. That's what we do with each other. You all get thoughts from the Holy Spirit too, and then we just reaffirm to each other. If you say, well, I thought something different, I'll say, well, what's that? And you'll tell me, or one of you all will tell each other, whatever. And so then you'll discuss it. That's called confirmation, affirming. Affirmation. And but you know that 90%, probably more actually, of the world's population has no idea what's going on. I mean, really, they bits and pieces, part and parcel, here and there, but nobody's connecting the dots. Once you realize this is a worldwide conspiracy, has specific objectives with a governing body worldwide, then things start making sense. However, if you're secular, you don't believe in the supernatural, atheist or agnostic or into philosophy and all that other nonsense and stuff, it just completely boggles the mind. It's what's meant to do. That's what the purpose of it is. Oh, it does really well. Some of the best philosophers I ever ran across was in college. And I never smoked marijuana or took any of the drugs, but some of the best philosophers I know were some of those pot-smoking hippies with long, curly hair that smoked that pot. They knew more about philosophy than most anybody. I think it's what marijuana helped them do, was understand philosophy. Maybe that's what it all came from, was peyote or something. But anyway, philosophy, circular reasoning, circular, triangular, square, whatever. It's all kinds of reasoning. It always comes back to the beginning, and it's the best way to understand it is someone that smokes marijuana or takes drugs. Oh. But 90% of the population don't have a clue. And they're made not to. And that includes us at the beginning. When you wasn't awake at this, you're involved in the world, work, education, involved into what am I going to do when I grow up kind of scenario. Some of us ask that question 3-4 times every decade. But even those that settled in their career, keeps us busy in the secular world. And every day you're into I'm going to get myself in the World Book of Records for my longevity of my life, leave a legacy behind. In every which way, bucket list, go for number one. We're number one. You see, that's the main thing, is I'm number one. Well, no, Jesus is. I'm a sinner. That's the reality. In the Marine Corps, and I was so bad at this. I mean, I had my troops when I was a lieutenant. Oh, boy. When I had like 40, well, I was weapons platoon commander, so I had 80 troops, young lance corporals and sergeants and staff sergeants and all this under me. And then we were personal. We were like, you know, as a platoon leader. And I, as a young second lieutenant, I was fired up. I wanted to go to war so bad I could taste the gunpowder every night. I loved the smell of my clean weapon, of the gun oil. It's just something I liked about it. The SOS that you get in the morning cafeteria and the sound of it. I just loved that stuff, man. Well, here's the bad part. But for me, it wasn't bad then. And I'd have my troops before I'd leave the barracks for the evening. We'd pray on certain occasions for our war. God, give us our war. Not that we're going to defend our country, but that I want the war to happen so I can defend my country. I want the opportunity. We pray for it. And I'd go down to squad bay, get them all fired up, and kick a trash can down in the middle of it. All that kind of stuff going on. What they do to our minds. But then again, if you don't fire them up and train them, when you do go to war, they're going to die. So you want to make sure that you have a bunch of killers that's going to come back. That's why you have to make them killers, because we're thrust into it. What I didn't know was those darn hippies were right. I didn't realize that till, I don't know, 10 years ago. All the wars are pre-orchestrated. Then I learned about the supernatural, how it's all combined. Boy, you're talking about an eye-opener on that one. Woo. Goes way beyond the Illuminati. Illuminati is nothing but servants of Lucifer. This is the reality. Well, it's so much of a reality that the Pentagon has weaponized witchcraft. They got top secret projects where they detail and task out and work with demonic entities. Some of them think they're aliens. These are classified projects. They've weaponized witchcraft. Automatic writing, remote viewing, astral travel. Man, this stuff is real. So real, it's in the Pentagon. You see, that's part of it. In your travels, you're going to have interruptions. You're going to have interruptions. You know? And just be ready for it. And really, it's part of your training. It's part of your training. Because really, when you sit back and, well, today in a Bible study, we're going to study about Paul. Get you a cup of coffee. Get your donuts or carrots, whatever you're into. We're going to speak about Paul. Everybody open up your books, please. Everybody open up your books, chapter, whatever it is, and we're going to study. Okay, Mary.
Yes, Tommy.
Can you read us? That's Bible study, right? No, it's practice. It's practice when you're thrown into a camp, or you're under fire, you're in a cave, you're in an abandoned house trying to hide, and you're preaching worried that somebody's going to break in the door. Now, there is what it's all about. That's graduation. Or if you're in a FEMA camp, if that happens, or your family is put up to get killed, and you've got to decide whether or not you're going to renounce Jesus Christ, or you're going to stay with Jesus and see your family killed. Family is coming. Or in famine, disease. Now, this is practice right now. You see what's coming? In our lifetime, I don't know. I don't have a crystal ball. I wouldn't have one if it did. That didn't make sense, did it? You see, we don't know the future, but we have some wisdom discernment. But the days are coming in the great tribulation and tribulation period. Or we're going to be taken by the rapture. Man, nobody knows. Nobody knows when the end time's coming, really. Nobody knows when the rapture's going to be. And Satan's scared to death of it. You see. What people don't realize, remember back in the day, you had, a 286 computer? Yeah, a 386. If you had a 486, you were hot stuff, boy. Well, 486 is like a little cell phone or something. I mean, 486 computers is nothing today. Okay. Remember the first cell phone? You thought you were hot stuff. Took two hands to carry the darn thing. Now today, you got cell phones. It's no bigger than your little old finger and stuck in your ear. And then they got IG that's like a handheld computer that's more powerful than a room full of computers and what have you, tapes that goes around in circles that they had in the 60s and 70s. One little handheld one's 100 times, 1,000 times more powerful. Let me tell you what's going on. You see, God is in control of this universe. All he's got to do is whatever he does, wiggle his finger, we'll say, and change the frequency vibration of human resonance, change the frequency vibration of this world. He does it all the time. And when he does, they got to upgrade their materials, their devices. They have to upgrade them. Or they burn out. They stop working. That's what's going on. So they got to keep upgrading and upgrading because God keeps changing it on them. They can never stop. They can never rest. And if they stop for a second, changing their own frequency from the supernatural state that they're in, they're sent into the abyss. So they must always, like, keep changing the frequencies of their little orbs that they live in, that they are. And once the demons get caught up in it, they're sent to the abyss. And it takes a lot of energy to get them out of there to operate within the second heaven. That's a lot of things going on. It's like a labyrinth. Each turn of the labyrinth requires an amount of energy to get them pulled out of the abyss. God keeps them always, I wouldn't say on their tiptoes, but you know this hyperbole. He's in control. And they're afraid. They're scared. Jesus of Nazareth, are you here before our time to torment us? They know their time's coming, man. Jesus is coming soon. They hate that. They hate to hear that. Now you see why it is. That's what all this is about. Right now, the world is too tied up in this Nevada thing and I don't know whatever else they got going on to keep everybody all busy and tied up and scared and all this and all that. And while everybody is scared and worried and so forth, you have no time for worship. I got people calling me up. What are you going to do when this starts, Tom? You going to, you know, I said, what do you think I'm going to do? Go find me a cave and live there and scratch rocks together and eat worms, lizards, and muskrats. What are you talking about? You know, let's dedicate the broadcast. And we're going to talk about today the poisoned fruit of the serpent seed and the tribulations, time of the Gentiles. And we'll see where we get to on that tonight in this Bible study. But remember, right now it's really just laid back. You're going to go to work when this thing hits. People are going to come to you. God will bring people to you. The main thing is how to lead them to Jesus. That is the bottom line. And you'll be in all kinds of conditions. Maybe at the point of someone's death. Maybe while you're going into a chamber, you say, I don't know. That is when you really go to work and when the fruit of your efforts blossoms. That's what this is all about. Right now, people aren't worried about it. They don't even want to think about it. It's like musical chairs. Is that what it's called? You know, where you go around and you pull a chair out and everybody sits down, somebody misses one. They're hoping their death comes first. That maybe I'll die before all this tribulation stuff, won't have to worry about it. Well, there's no such thing as that. Judgment will come for all who's living and dead. That's ever lived, every human being. How's God do that? I don't know. That's his business, not mine. But he does it. He'll do it. Judgment will come. The great white throne for sinners and the judgment seat of Christ for those saved. Rewards and punishment. It's coming. It's that simple. The hard part is living that way. And the preachers, rabbis, and priests aren't helping one bit. Matter of fact, they're there to hurt you. All of them? No. But most of them today. I'll tell you that right now. You just name them off. And they're controlled by the secret societies. And by their own fear. That's God's business. He'll take care of that. Ours is simply spread the gospel and to be calm when all this goes down. Whether it's this generation, whether it's next month, whether it's Nevada as a touch-off point, or whether it's 10 years from now. I don't know. I ain't worried about it. Everybody gets all in a tither. Happens when it happens. I was going to go down to Robbie's surplus store and find me at least a tank or something. I don't know. But they're not selling tanks this week. Anyway. Lord, today we come before you in prayer. We pray today, Father, in the name of your Son, Jesus. Father, lead us tonight in our gospel. Lead us tonight in our Bible study. Lead us tonight, Lord, as we come here to learn. And ourselves, Father, to have revelations among all those listening and those participating. And Father, you'll guide us tonight. We pray for our families, Lord. We pray, Lord, that they'll seek the face of Jesus. And Lord, to give us the words that we can speak to them. And Father, for us to give us courage and wisdom, discernment, and strength to stay strong so we don't fall away. Guide us, Lord, give us patience. Help us to trust in the word. Convict us when we fall away, Lord. Help us to stay strong. Father, we do pray for the veterans returning. That, Father, they'll wake up. That, Father, somehow there's those in leadership position that will see the truth. And, Father, will lead the veterans in the right way. And for those to somehow the Holy Spirit to touch those and give them courage to speak out against those that's being deceiving. And, Lord, to render null and void the technology used to cause them to shoot each other and to fight and with each other. Father, we know the microchips and the psychiatric drugs and all that, Lord, are being used as a weapon from the highest command. Father, we need that supernatural help. Lord, it's going to render this technology, these chemicals, null and void. Lord, we'd also pray for children. It's going to be targeted for abduction. Father, those for sacrifice to give us help on this, Lord. So many people don't understand this. To set up situations to where some will be saved. To take away sacrifices of those already captured. Father, we need that Holy Spirit soon. We need it now, Lord, if it be your will. Father, we pray for the courage of these pastors and preachers and rabbis and priests, that, Lord, that they'll start speaking out the truth. And exalt and raise up the King James Bible as your true word. But, Father, so many are slipping away. That's why we need that supernatural power to come down and that anointing be put out. These things we pray. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, and thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Do you see in your dreams, any dreams of you in the middle of amidst 10, 15, saying that prayer before you go into the chamber? Saying that prayer before the guillotines pop up. Saying that prayer as FEMA comes to pick up people. Or the Chinese or Russians. Do you see yourself gathering with a neighborhood group and saying this prayer? Have you had dreams of that or other dreams? Because it may well be that that's what you'll do. Be that leader that's going to lead them to Jesus right before it's time to go. Or if you're hiding out somewhere, you think, well, that never happened here. Oh, but it will. Don't know when. Maybe next generation. But either way, to be prepared. You might be in a car accident. You don't know. But that's what it's all about. That's the bottom line. You've got these cult groups. The cult groups, Arnold Murray, Shepherd's Chapel, Herbert Armstrong, groups, Christian identity. You have a thought that Satan and Eve had sexual relations in the Garden of Eden. That's the fruit. And these people fight for that. Your Christian identity folks, secret name movement, Hebrew roots movement, they're something like this, they're all connected. A children's poem says, plant a seed and watch it grow. What it shall one day be, we do not know. Ideas are like seeds as well. You see, they often we don't see where they might lead to. What would the seed turn into? Hitler's idea of racial supremacy was a small seed that grew into a world war. Of course, it wasn't his idea. He was groomed for it after World War I. He was Illuminati, a seed of Rothschild, like Queen Elizabeth, Stalin, and Churchill, and all the rest of them. He did try the Holocaust to get rid of Jews. Marx and Lenin, their atheistic ideas led to over 10 times that. The Vatican murdered 50 to 68 million people. I don't think people realize what's really on the outside. Huge heresies always grow from very small seeds. Now, this serpent seed doctrine is one of such these ideas. The teaching that the Garden of Eden, that the serpent had sexual relations with Eve. The following of this belief is massive. Massive. The result of this, she bore Cain. Now, the primary notion is that original sin was sexual. That's what they want you to believe, that throws the sex part in there. And, you know, in a way of speaking, it has some visceral appeal overall because the doctrine that the fall of man resulted from a poor produced section seems very fantasy. Sexual temptation is something that you can all relate to and in some way agree is a powerful distraction, to say the least. Sexual temptation is something that we can relate to. It's thrown in our face every day, and they're really using it on the children today. Big time, man. I mean, when you see it, when you start recognizing it, it's everywhere. Magazines, you say, I don't read Playboy. Oh, really? You don't, do you? Do you go to the drugstore? Yeah, I go to the drugstore. Mm-hmm. You stop by the magazine department? Yeah, I look at the hunting today. Yeah, right, okay. You also look at the fashion, don't you? You know, and you walk by where, you know, I lost 20 pounds in 3 weeks. And there she says in a bathing suit. What's the difference between that and Playboy? It's not a lick. And you got the tattoo magazines out there. And, you know, the guy's got that hunting book. I'm reading about my hunter book here, about hunters, you know. Well, the eyeballs are going past that to the other magazines. Then Martha comes around. Leroy, what you looking at, boy? Ah, look at the Hunter magazine. Hunter, yeah, man, Hunter. See, there's the 357 Magnum. See that? Right. The lure of sex all over the place. And that's why they started sex education in the grade schools. And today, it's unbelievable. They're taking children, man. 3, 4, 5, 6 years old, these parents dressing up like little, you know, pageant contestants at 3, 4, 5, and 6 years old and taking pictures. It's called exploitation of children. The problem is that this idea Cain is the son of Satan and Eve. And this is not just some little cult. This is big. Besides, I talked before about the cult groups that believe in, well, it's actually the same groups, now to think about it, that believe that mankind was created before Adam and Eve. And because Adam and Eve was sexual sin, it was so egregious that that bloodline of Jews were cursed. But the Gentiles were created before Adam and Eve. It gets weirder and weirder as you go along. Well, this serpent seed about Cain is the son of Satan and Eve is part of this belief, by the way. But this idea and this problem is that it's directly opposed to the clear and explicit word of God that's refuted by Genesis 4:1. Now, the man had relations with his wife Eve, and she conceived and gave birth to Cain. She said, I've gotten a man from the Lord. Now, if you go into King James Bible, Genesis 4:1, and Adam knew Eve, his wife. Now, when you knew her, you slept with her. That's kind of the words they used back in the 18th century. Excuse me, the 17th century. And this is what they translated it to be. And God guided the translators of the King James Bible. And Adam knew Eve, his wife, and she conceived and bare Cain and said, I've gotten a man from the Lord. Now, what they do with that verse is they take the part about Adam knew Eve and that she had gotten a man from the Lord as two separate sexual encounters. That's not really what 4:1 says. It's pretty clear what it says. And she again bare his brother Abel, and Abel was a keeper of the sheep, and Cain was a tiller of the ground. Now, and they take that and they run with it. That's one of their main things. See, Adam knew his Eve, his wife Eve, knew his Eve, his wife, in the sense that they'd had sexual relations with her. When Cain was born, she acknowledged that this birth was only by the Lord's enablement in naming him Cain, which is acquisition. Eve may have thought that she had given birth to the promised seed. And since he wasn't like a woman, she knew what a woman looked like. Hello. She knew it was a man. It was a male. She just didn't use the word child. I have a child from the Lord. It's like in the hospital. What is it? It's a boy. Well, here she says, it's a man. Well, you think a man. But it would be the same in the context of the 18th century, the 17th century. Because they had a penis. Do I have to spell it out for you? And so she didn't distinguish between child, children, or infant, or whatever. It was, well, he's a man. Whoop, there he is. And that was a woman, okay, or whatever. But these were two men, Cain and Abel. Sounds silly, don't it? But that's what they do. They take every little way they can to downplay the King James Bible and doctrine. You see. The serpent seed doctrine. And so the most egregious sin in the Garden of Eden was sex. Illicit sex. Adultery. But what was Satan then? He was a serpent. The serpent. See, and then they get you, the atheists and agnostics and others will say, oh, yeah, right. A talking snake. Well, I guess I never heard of Ed the Talking Horse. That was later, wasn't it? 1960s. A horse is a horse, of course, of course. Anyway, a talking horse. Then they had one. What was that donkey back in the day? I forgot the name of him. It was on TV. Talking donkey. Well, I actually had one in the Bible, too. Well, that's interesting. Anyway, if they cannot have a human being to possess in this physical world, they will take animals. Baal, the talking donkey. It's in the Bible. Balaam, there you go. It talks about the talking donkey. Family, it's about possession. And the body is just a way that the demon can operate in this physical environment, in this first heaven, to take the supernatural, which you can't see because of the vibration is so fast. They're around you everywhere right now. You're protected by the hedge of God. People have no idea. Whew, that hedge of protection is keeping things back. But once you're possessed, it will talk through an animal. It will talk through a body. In this case, it was a serpent. Of course, they use the old King James translation, and you got to be careful when you're getting research that they don't use the corrupted scriptures to explain, because there's a big difference in a lot of cases. Adam knew his wife. And people try to obfuscate this, and their arguments are without merit. Rendered to know, understood, have sexual relations. She conceived. Cain had relations with, knew his wife. She conceived, gave birth to Enoch, the first Enoch, and he built a city. He built a city, yeah, called Enoch. It's the name of the first city after the name of his son. You find that in Genesis 4:17. There were two Enochs in the Bible. Enoch number one was the son of Cain and his wife. I know someone's begging the question, where'd his wife come from? Well, you had those that followed, you had go forth and multiply, right? Yeah. So you had no laws against having sexual relationships or incestual relationships with family members then, because the idea was with sex to promulgate, to increase the population of the world. That's why they lived 900 years. Then when it's all been populated to a point that God said, okay, that's the point I want to go, then he cut down the living to 120 years. So after a period of time, Cain either married a niece, cousin. Well, after all, Queen Elizabeth, Hitler, and all the rest, they married their second cousins. You got to keep that seed connected in the bloodline. Well, in this case, when Cain got kicked out of the garden, got kicked out for killing Abel, you know that there's people that followed Cain. They would go. It wasn't just like Cain by himself just going out. It was family members that said, we're with Cain. We'll stand by him. Well, they're all going to be family members, aren't they? That's where his wife came from. See, the land of Nod was a land of wilderness. Not, hey man, where are you going? We're going to land of Nod, man. They got disco down there. No, land of Nod, Nod in Hebrew is wilderness. There was nothing there. That's the land of Nod, is what wandering. Look it up. First city was Enoch, named after his son Enoch. The second Enoch came later. That's the Enoch that was loved by God, son of Jared. There are attempts to obfuscate this part of it. Adam had relations with or knew his wife again, and she gave birth to a son. See, so it wasn't just one time. It's twice there. Then, of course, Cain was the oldest. Then Abel came along, he's youngest. They're trying to say that Cain and Abel were fraternal twins. That sex was made in the garden by Samyaza, or whatever his name is, or Satan. And then Adam came along, had sexual relations too. He's like, hey, look what I found out. Okay. And then she had fraternal twins, so two at the same time. That's what they try to tell you. That's sneaky. Adam had relations with his wife again, and she gave birth to a son named Seth. For she said, God has appointed me another offspring in the place of Abel, for Cain killed him. Go to Genesis 4:25. And Genesis 4:25. And Adam knew his wife again. She bare a son and called his name Seth. For God, said she, has appointed me another seed instead of Abel, whom Cain slew. Now, there's attempts to argue that this word, use the word new, only applies knowledge or it's blatant special pleading. The context rules out any other meaning of the term. So it's not biblical what they're trying to do. Scriptural justification, advocates of the viewpoint to the curse God gave the serpent. Genesis 3:15. Says that, and I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. Now, this Genesis 3:15, what does that mean? What this is talking about, it switches to the devil himself. Is what it's doing. The verse is known as it's what one theologian calls the protev angelium. Protev, P-R-O-T-E-V, protev angelium. Isn't that wild or what? And what it means is, it's the first gospel. It kind of predicts a perpetual hostility between Satan and the woman. And the woman is not about the church. The woman, in this case, represents all of mankind. So it's between Satan's seed, his agents, family that I talk about every day, Illuminati, secret societies, all these, his agents, and her seed, the Messiah, not the Catholic Church. The Messiah is her seed. So the woman's seed would crush the devil's head. So a mortal wound spelling utter defeat. That's Armageddon. In the final battle, Gog and Magog, at the end of 1,000 years. So the wound was administered at Calvary. Because remember, Satan had control all the way up to Calvary, and he lost it all. He tried to kill Jesus all the way from Herod, from the time of birth, even before that, to stop it. Family, all the way up to 1940s, to kill the Jews, so the 144,000 won't be able to come out. He's failed in every case. All this is connected. At Calvary, the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ, the Savior, decisively triumphed over devil. as you well know, and Satan then in turn would bruise the Messiah's heel. That heel wound, H-E-E-L, speaks of the suffering and even physical death, but not the ultimate defeat. So, Christ may have suffered at the cross. What's talking about? That's a prophecy. Even died. But Satan didn't have wisdom nor discernment to know. No time travel going on here or knowledge of the future. See, he doesn't have that ability. He doesn't have that dimensional capacity. So he couldn't see. He thought to kill Jesus, he's done. Well, no. Because he arose from the dead. He arose victorious over sin, hell, and Satan. Fact is that he is called the woman's seed. It's kind of a suggestion of his virgin birth. Not the man's seed. Aha. And you know the kindness of God is promising the Messiah before pronouncing sentence in the verses that followed it in 3:16 to 19. So it tells you the seed of the woman and the seed of the serpent, who that really is. Even in Revelation 12:9, King James Bible. Revelation 12, verse 9. And the great dragon, Satan, was cast out, that old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceives the whole world. He was cast out in the earth. His angels were cast out with him. And so, the God of peace will soon crush Satan under the feet. And you also could raise a valid complaint that snakes and humans can't procreate. But still, the idea has appeal for cult leaders and racist because they've justified the us versus them paradigm. The us is inevitably the heretical cult that reaches a doctrine about them as virtually anyone who disagrees with them. Cain is like a minority, son of Satan. Oh, they run with that. Some of the cult groups. It's nonsense. Certainly, the serpent seed doctrine is no doubt demonic. So that says something for the groups that push it. It's the fruit of occultism and bigotry. Now, after the Babylonian captivity, some Pharisaic Jews began viewing the account of Adam and of Eve and serpent as allegory. They taught that Cain was actually Satan's offspring. They also taught that Cain and his descendants had no opportunity to be restored to God. Some of them talk about Cain and his offspring, some of them anyway, escaping the flood. I think that's somewhat alluded to in this ridiculous movie called Noah. That's where they're alluding to that. Tubal Cain chopped his way into the ark. Yeah, right. You know, a 9th century Jewish madras called the Perk de Rabbi Eliezer, something like that, in various targums, or this is Jewish commentaries, they altered Genesis 4:1. The targums, T-R-G-U-M-S, were appropriated to support this serpent seed heresy. Now, they're dated around 1500s to the year 2000 years, after Genesis was written. and are discredited by the Dead Sea Scrolls. Because the Dead Sea Scrolls, it gives traditional rendering of Genesis 4:1. Now, notwithstanding this, the serpent seed is a staple of the Kabbalists, the Kabbal. They teach that God created two atoms, one with a soul, and the other, Nakesh, didn't have a soul. And they record this in the Zohar. Two beings, quote, Adam and Nakesh, had intercourse with Eve. She conceived from both and bore two children. Each followed one of the male parents, and their spirits parted, one to this side and one to the other. Similarly, their characters. On the side of Cain are all the haunts of the evil species, see? And the side of Abel comes a more merciful class, yet not wholly beneficial. Good wine mixed with bad, Zohar Bereshith 36b. So, it appeared in early Gnostic writings and explicitly rejected by one of the Roman Catholic Church fathers, Irenaeus, circa about 180 A.D., and in Against Heresies, where you'll find it. Others again declare that Eve sinned by committing adultery. That's the egregious sin that they're talking about. So one of the major Iranian Gnostic religions is has this as a foundation called the Manichaeans. Is again heretical by St. Augustine around the 4th century. The occult Gnostic root sprouted from the seed was also deemed heretical by the fathers, the church fathers. And you know what these roots grew into? Racism. You know what racism has grown into? Christian identity. Arnold Murray. Herbert Armstrong. You got it? The sacred name movement. Hebrew roots movement. Yahweh, Yeshua. All this stuff. Man, they're sneaky. Adherents to the serpent seed doctrine are largely occultists and therefore white supremacists. And Hitler, even though he studied Blavatsky quite a bit, he was absolutely fascinated by the occult and brought in this racist teaching. The Rosicrucian idea of man to become Superman. That's why they want to have Jesus looking like he's blonde-haired, blue-eyed. You got to be kidding me. He's had skins of bronze, hair like wool, kind of comely-looking. He wasn't blonde-haired, blue-eyed. So this Christian identity, the movement, teaches that white people, well, white folk, are descendants of Adam, and hence the only chosen people of God. The KKK believes the serpent seed doctrine. KKK was formed by the Christian identity, white folk. They and other hate groups believe it to be their duty to exterminate the lineage of Cain and Ham. Rotten fruit indeed. Now you see how this works. It's been going on for centuries. What we're talking about. I'll tell you one thing. God's not smiling on America. Our ancestors from 1712 took blacks as slaves. I tell you, the white folk out there, as if they're here listening, they're not. Man, you got a lot of repenting to do. I mean, it's worth going back in your family background and find out if any of your ancestors were the slave owners and repent for that. I mean to tell you, that's very serious. And Freemasons, they go back generations. Being a Freemason, carrying this bloodline curse, goes four generations plus. and repent for that white man bloodline. I'm a white boy. I'm a Southern Scotch-Irish, a little bit of Cherokee, but more Scotch and Irish. I don't get into those racial knick-knack, piddywhack, paddywhack. I don't get into this stuff. It's the soul of a man that counts, the heart. It's all that counts, nothing else. Skin color just means your family bloodline lived in one part of the world. That's all, because the DNA changes based on where you lived. It ain't got nothing to do with soul. Spirit, what's going on? But see, Satan took off on this, man. He took off on this and used that differences to foment civil, to foment slavery, wars, chaos, order out of chaos. He jumped on it. People bought off on it. So if you got a Freemason in the background, you got to repent for that bloodline, whether it's 3-4 generations back. Or if you find out your ancestors were slave owners, man, you got to cut that bloodline, man. You got to cut that and plead the blood of Jesus over it and repent for it in your bloodline. That's nothing to be proud of, to enslave another human being. God don't forget. This is important because that bloodline's cursed. I'm telling you what it is. You get mad at me if you want, but that's what it works. It's in the Bible, fourth generation. And then it leapfrogs itself each generation. A Pentecostal pastor by the name of William Branham, he taught that the fall of mankind resulted from Eve having sexual intercourse with an upright beast whom Adam had named Serpent. Whew. In addition, Arnold Murray, the pastor of Shepherd's Chapel, is a current promoter of that unbiblical heresy, attempting to mitigate his stance with disclaimers. Ho ho, bingo. Jim Wilhelmson. Well, I'll be. Teaches it explicitly as a racial theory, stating that both Cain, white boy, Abel, black boy, could represent races that were never an intention of God's structure, one being a direct seed of the serpent and the other an out-of-time seed of the woman. He also advocates that in this statement of faith, stating, quote, we believe in two literal seeds mentioned in Genesis. Unfortunately, that seems to rule out the traditional spiritual interpretation. Unquote. Well, no kidding. Well. Sometimes my own research comes back around on me. I'll be. Amazing how the Holy Spirit works, isn't it? I just caught that a little while ago. You see what's going on? And this is perpetuating itself all through history. This is what's really happening. He also advocates in his statements of faith, stating that we believe in two literal seeds, Genesis 3. Unfortunately, that seems to rule out traditional spiritual interpretation. Unquote. Yeah, I'd say it does. And you have another publicizer is Joya Jeffries Pugh. She has a book called Eden, The Knowledge of Good and Evil, 666, which argues, quote, through Cain, Satan has created a human from his own seed. Cain was the first offspring produced as a result of sons of God mating with a woman. That's not true either. The differences of races came after Nimrod, when God divided everybody. He wanted us to be divided. He intended for everybody to be divided and not come together and not to be diverse. But white mate with white and marry, black with black, Hispanic with Hispanic, whatever, bronze, Middle Easterner, Oriental, and so forth. To love each other, but not come together. He divided us all up. Why? So mankind could not come together, because he knew Satan would try to do it again. And that's exactly what he's doing. That's exactly what he's done. And he accomplished that last year. How about that? I don't know if anybody catches what I've just said, but Changing Faces of America, October issue of National Geographic. Look it up. They have accomplished that. To bring the races together. That's why you see all the commercials. That's where you have that, remember back in the 80s, 70s, 80s? We are the world. We are, you know, remember that song, everybody got together? I don't have a problem with all that. I mean, this, I'm just telling you what's going on. Brought Chris home. The plans, actual documented plans of the Illuminati. Quote, the agitator of the Illuminati, once they've crowned head of the Illuminati, king despot of the universe, that's Antichrist, will next proceed to eradicate racial characteristics by mixing the black, red, yellow, and white races. This experiment has already been carried out on a large scale. Dr. Brock Chisholm, his 1940s, had advocated on the Canadian Broadcasting Corporation that, quote, by mixing the races, all racial problems would disappear, unquote. Now, the purpose of that is so people come together under the despot, the control of the Antichrist. Now, Jesus is going to bring us all back together, but it's a benevolent connection. For Satan, it's bringing all the cultures together, and he's going to eradicate everybody else. It's called the Third World War. Ouch. And depopulation, you see what's going on? And they're going to protect, in deep underground military bases, this hybrid, this connection where everybody's together, so that way there'll be no conflict, and everybody worship Lucifer. This is what's really going on. I don't have, like, for example, any preference of my own. It's not, who am I? I'm nobody. You know, but I don't have any problem whether man, black man, woman, or that's their business. I don't get into all that. I'll tell you that different races marrying outside of races, they'll have troubles in the flesh, but by working with God, you'll get through it. But it's never meant for us to come together. I mean, the black race has their habits. The white race got theirs. Orientals got theirs. And we're to love each other. We're to be one, you know, as far as worshiping God, but not to bring the races together. Because you're just different. And certainly not man marrying man and woman marrying woman. I mean, so Satan has turned it all backwards. He said, everything God did, I'm going to undo. That's what's going on today, you know. I'm completely, totally neutral. I can't judge nothing, nobody. But I'm telling you what the principles are that they're manipulating and using, Satan is doing with DNA. And we helped it in 1712 by slavery. That's where it began in the North American continent. And the white folk coming over to the Indians was the beginning of it in 1492. That was what that was all about. It was about some brave, which he wasn't brave, Columbus. I'm going to go across the ocean. If I fall off, well, I hope I have a parachute. Anyway, so I'm going to go across and explore the new world. That's the biggest bunch of baloney I ever heard in my entire lifetime. No, he didn't. He knew exactly where he's going. And the idea was to start integrating the races as they planned. Listen, in the year 1400, plans started being specified in 1425, and by this time, a bloodline member, an avatar, I have it documented, by the name of Columbus, put it in action. That was the first step in 1492. So 1492, it's taken them, well, I have a calculator here, yabba dabba do. So 2013 minus 1492, it's taken them almost 500 years to accomplish this. Now you got the point? Take them over 500 years, and they have accomplished that connection. It's amazing. So they're saying that through Cain, Satan created a human from his own seed. Cain was the first offspring, produced result of sons of God. Sons of God created Nephilim, giants, not Cain. So then this lady, Pew, proceeds to spin and have some yarn about Egyptian secret societies and fallen angels and provide some scant documentation, much like the Da Vinci Code. That's where all that comes from. And it makes for some entertaining mythology, but it offers a little bit of substance, hardly none at all. Other modern day types is Sun, Young, Moon. You see, they all come into place here. And some Islamic sects, S-E-C-T-S, Oneness Pentecostals, some Satanists, and British Israelism. There you go. You'll find British Israelism, Sacred Name Movement, Christian Identity, Arnold Murray, Hebrew Roots Movement, Preterist, Calvinist. They're all connected. Some of the time you'll find the same names in these organizations, movements, and so forth. Some Satanists in British Israelism, but strange fruit like that, it's better to smash the seed before it grows. Now you know why, in the Old Testament, when we're under the law, humankind was under the law, God said to destroy entire villages. You're like, why would God do that? That's an evil God. Well, no. He knew about the serpent seed. He knew about Nephilim. He knew about how Satan was corrupting mankind's seed. Had to. And we're under the law. Now, this is Bible study. And this is also a part of today's actual events and beliefs that's going on that's pulling people over. Because this plays upon the racial issue. You mean the white man is, wow. So that sort of pulls people away from each other. And that's what they want. To make chaos, to bring order. So persecution. False ideas are the devil's primary devices. If you go to Ephesians 6, arguably the definitive text on spiritual warfare is Ephesians 6, you don't find special rituals or prayers to recite for casting out demons. But the tools of the spiritual warfare are the helmet of salvation that you always have on. The sword of the Spirit is the word of God, which you can read, and the belt of truth, which I've talked about, and here we go, which should be always around your waist. In other words, the more you're familiar with the truth, the more you're impenetrable of your spiritual armor. Praying at all times in the Spirit. Spiritual warfare is fought on two fronts. Challenge of persecution that we're to preserve in, and challenge of error, false doctrine and false ideas. Now, that's briefly scratching the surface for that particular heresy. It's major, though. A lot of the tribe of Dan folks are involved in this in a big way. That's where the racial parts come in. So if you get people to go against each other, they'll make them want to come together, and it's called the dialectic. What's happening right now. I ain't going to go into the politics right now, but this is all connected. So what are the times of the Gentiles? You know, Luke 21:24, Jesus speaks of future events. That includes destruction of Jerusalem and his return. The preterists and Calvinists and so forth say, well, that happened in 70 A.D. Well, no. It did happen then, but there's something else coming. He says that Jerusalem will be trampled underfoot by the Gentiles until the times of the Gentiles be fulfilled. Now, you'll find this in Romans, or one of the verses similar, to Romans 11:25. And here is where it conflicts with those that want to say Yahweh, Hebrew Roots Movement. Because of the passing of God's word to be brought to mankind fell upon the Gentiles, the Greek, and then English, King James. That's why we use the word Jesus. First it was Jesus, then to Jesus. Romans 11:25. For I would not, brethren, that ye should be ignorant of this mystery, lest ye should be wise in your own conceits, that blindness is part, is happened to Israel, until the fullness of the Gentiles to come in. Well, there it is. So does the Bible tell us what this phrase, time of the Gentiles, really means? Well, the Old Testament doesn't contain the exact phrase. Like, you won't find the word Bible in the Bible, or you won't find the word Trinity as it's explained in 1 John 5, verse 7. But it's there. But there is a reference to it which seemed to match to Ezekiel 30, verse 3. Ezekiel 30, verse 3, for the day is near. Even the day of the Lord is near, a cloudy day. It shall be the time of the heathen. Now, it points to a time of doom for the nations, a connection with the day of the Lord, and that itself is a Bible study. So Daniel's series of visions that he has kind of deals with the Gentiles' world powers, and what their role, what the Gentiles' role is in God's plan for the earth. Nebuchadnezzar. I never could say that darn thing twice, that name. Now, his image of gold and silver and bronze and iron and clay in his dream, Daniel 2:31-45 will say, it represents the successive Gentile kingdoms. And these kingdoms were to dominate until Jesus Christ returned and establishes his reign. So, Daniel's vision of these four beasts that you'll find in Daniel 7:1-27. It also speaks of four kings or nations, and they will actually dominate for some period of time. And again, that will be until Jesus Christ comes back to rule. You got this, what was it, vision of the ram and goat? Somewhere in Daniel 8, chapter 1, 20-something, 26, I believe. It gives some detail about these Gentile rulers. And this time involved in their dominion on this earth. So in each of these passages I've mentioned to you, the Gentiles have dominion over the world. And that includes the Jewish people. You know, for a little time there, God will ultimately subdue them, all of them. And he will establish his own kingdom once and for all. And you know, each of these prophecies that you read in the old prophets, they always accumulate into a reference of Christ's kingdom. And the times of the Gentile rulers, will be all the years between Babylonian Empire of Nebuchadnezzar and the glorious return of Jesus Christ to this earth, the second coming. Now, we're now living in the time of the Gentiles. This is a time in the era of Gentile domination. Now, if you get on over to the book of Revelation, you'll find very similar references. And this to the time of the Gentile dominion. It ends with the return of Jesus Christ in Revelation 11, verse 2. You should find it there. And here you'll find that John indicates that Jerusalem will be under Gentile rule. You know, the Vatican's been after Jerusalem since they funded the invading Muslim armies into Northern Africa and took Jerusalem. They were supposed to turn it over to the Vatican before the First Crusade. That's what the Vatican paid them for. That's what the Vatican, listen now, that's what the Vatican created Islam for in the 6th century. Brought Muhammad in. Trained Muhammad the prophet from 6 years old to 25. Yeah. And set him up with a nun. Hell, I got for a dating service. Who was an Egyptian, an Arab widower who was rich. Khwajana. She was 40 years old. A little cougar going on there, huh? And he was 25. She was a nun, Arab nun. And he was in the same bloodline later, as Queen Elizabeth II. Oh, King Edward IV is a connector there. How about them apples, huh? Some of the Arabs, I've talked to some of them in Saudi Arabia. They say, well, oh, yes, Muhammad in the bloodline of Queen Elizabeth. Some of the Arabs are like Americans. That's impossible. No, there's no way. Yeah, it is a way. It's true. God, people only knew how this worked. Oh, man. And these armies will be destroyed by the Lord. Revelation 19, 17 to 19. The armies of the beast will be destroyed by the Lord. Just before the millennium reign of Christ is initiated, and that be called Armageddon. Armageddon, unlike what Hagee and Bagley and all the rest of them, I'm sorry, I'll name names, are saying, we're not in Armageddon now, we're not in Gog and Magog, but we are approaching a fake war that will lead us to the first seal. The real World War III, where massive extermination of humankind, is the second seal, and that's the real World War III. But that's the second seal. Whew, got five more to go after that. That's Satan's reign. That's Satan's revenge, or Satan's allowed Satan, because we've turned away. Jerusalem turned away from God in the first seal by confirming a covenant, Daniel 9:27. These guys at the highest level of clergy better get with the program. Let me think nobody studies at all to say this is Gog and Magog or Ezekiel 38:39 or whatever. When you go back to Luke 21:24, you'll see that Jesus talks about, mentions a time which Jerusalem's under dominion of Gentile authority. And Nebuchadnezzar, by George, I think I got it. Nebuchadnezzar, I should have stayed with it the first time. His conquest of Jerusalem in 588 BC, it began the period, and it continued through the present time today. And Romans 11:25 kind of gives us a hint as to God's purpose in the times of the Gentiles. It's the spread of the gospel throughout the whole world. So the organization and inventions of this pagan world powers have actually aided the evangelism of the world. God works in strange ways. The wheat and the tares. For example, in the first century, it was a widespread use of the Greek language and the network of Roman roads that allowed many people in far-off lands to hear the gospel. the development of the English language as a universal language to be brought to mankind to bring the Word of God in. Why it kept it hidden in the Alps for centuries until a universal language called English was brought together. You see what happened? So really, we don't have to learn Hebrew or Greek or any other. It's a universal language. You think it's accidental? No, sir. Not accidental at all. You have to know English, no matter what country you're from, to get a job at the United Nations or OSCE that I work for. I actually had a head start on them because I could speak English. English is my second language. My first language is American. Anyway, so one theme of the Romans 11 is that when the Jewish people rejected Christ, they did, they were temporarily cut off. And they were cut off from the blessings of relationship with God. And they're trying to get it back. But see, some of them at the highest level, they know the secret. Yeah, they know this Sanan d'Emmanuel, fallen angel, is coming. And they accept him as their actual Messiah. And they're not telling people about this. That's why they're trying to say that the name of Jesus is Yeshua and Jeshua, Yahweh and all that. Yahweh is Satan spelled backwards, by the way. By the way, for Yahweh. This is why they're trying to get everybody to say Yeshua. That's what I've been fighting on the YouTube, on the Facebook, all the time. You're wrong. His name's Yeshua. What's his name in Hebrew? See, that's what they're trying to get you to do. Because Sananda Emmanuel, I don't know what his angelic name is. One of the great white brotherhood members, that's right, is going to appear at some time, under disclosure. My name is Sananda. Yeshua, you know me as. And boy, these Christians are going to go haywire. And the Catholic Church is going to go down and re-spiritualize into the New Age movement. And they're not telling people that. And the Vatican knows this. But first they got to prepare the way. Get you say Yeshua over and over. Get you say Yeshua over and over and over. And he comes up and says, my name's Yeshua. Well, come on now. A little psychological manipulation on steroids. But is this result of all this cut off and blessings of this cut off of the Jews? The gospel was given to the Gentiles. They failed. And the Gentiles gladly received it. So the partial hardening of the heart for Israel doesn't preclude individual Jews from being saved, but it does prevent the nation from accepting Christ as Messiah. What Hagee say? You see. He's got a book about it. So it prevents them from accepting Christ as Messiah until his plans are finished. So when the time's right, God will restore, not 1948, but God will restore in the future the entire nation of Israel. And they will come to faith in him once again, ending the time of the Gentiles. Now, I don't have a problem with that. And we're not going to be in countries, flags, or paint our faces or whatever. You know, it ain't going to happen. We're all one in Christ when that time comes. Now, they take all these key words, and they're trying to bring it into the New Age movement. We're all one in Christ. The God within you. Oh, brother. And none of them can demonstrate it. I mean, they come up with all these key words. You're a God inside. It's really close to similar teaching of Joyce Myers. They're all saying that. T.D. Jakes, Brazier, Dollar, Copeland, a whole lot of them. We're gods. We're running around. You're God? Yeah, I'm a God. They have God school called, yeah, they do actually, Melchizedek University, I Am University, and the New Age side. Can you imagine? Go Cletus, a correspondence course to learn how to be a God. Actually, I'm not joking. How about your Course of Miracles? Whew, boy. Isaiah 17:7. At that day shall a man look to his Maker, and his eyes shall have respect to the Holy One of Israel. Isaiah 62:11. Behold, the Lord hath proclaimed to the end of the world. Say ye to the daughter of Zion, behold, thy salvation cometh. Behold, his reward is with him, his work before him. And they're trying to make the United States that nation because of our vast resources we have for their witchcraft, especially in Utah with the salt flats. Oh, yeah, that has a lot to do with witchcraft. Ooh, they don't want you to know that. They don't want that at all. That salt has a lot to do with channeling and power. Alchemy. Stay away from that stuff. Romans 11:26. And so all Israel shall be saved. As it is written, there shall be some out of Sion, the deliverer, and shall turn away from ungodliness, away ungodliness from Jacob. The time of the Gentiles is getting ready to end at some particular time. And so is this Bible study. That was quick, y'all. Serpent seed, which is a major doctrine going around today with a racist overtone to exacerbate the racial issue, to bring everybody to oneness under the control of Satan. Oh, I couldn't say that twice in a day. No way. That's what's going on today. It's not about Nevada and bang, bang, shoot 'em up and revolution and all that stuff going on. All that's proverbial. Just bleh, keep you all busy. Keep us all against each other. You tired of being against each other? Yeah, let's come together. Okay, under Satan. Not okay. But you got to go through. Now, what does it do in the rapture? I don't know. Mid-tribulation? Some people still say that's 3.5 years only. No. Now, I don't have time now to go over that, but yeah, tomorrow night we'll talk about the tribulation. Remind me now. How do we know the tribulation will last 7 years? Now, this has come up several times for me this week. I asked somebody the other day, I said, wait a minute, I said, if we're already at the end of the only 3.5 years of the thing, what about the 7 trumpets? What about the 7 bowls? You got to squeeze it in there somewhere. You know, where's the Antichrist? Well, it's all in order. 7 years. It hasn't started yet. Not 3.5. You can't cram 7 seals, 7 trumpets, 7 bowls in a 3.5 year period. That's not going to work. It's not even biblical. They want to accelerate it because some of them don't even know why, but they want to accelerate it because at some point in time, this one called Sananda and Maitreya is going to appear. So they can't have all 7 years in their doctrine. They've got to shorten it down a little bit. Make up stuff. Fake tribulation. Fake world war. Fake Antichrist, fake false prophet. And then comes the real one, Sanan Emmanuel, Maitreya. That's the real Antichrist and false prophet. That begins the 7 years. Well, I'll let y'all know that we are played up in highpointradio.net. John Kirkler, H-E-R-K-A-L-E-R. Up at highpointradio.net is building up his network. I'm not sure when he's going to stop, but I was told some time ago that he is putting up an antenna about every month. Up in New York, New Jersey, and Pennsylvania, y'all. And we also are played simulcast in Blue Ridge, Blue Raven Network. Gosh, I get around in a minute. KBLU Radio. Simulcast us. We're on theirs. And then I have my own, watchmerforjesus.com. which is 24-hour rotation. I cut in on it, as you all know. And I'll let you all know next time I have an appearance on another program. I think I'm going to have one next week, I believe, talking about HPV. Yeah, I believe that's coming, but I'll let you all know about that, I reckon. Family, I just see things increasing. When they show you their ugly side, then you know they got a dialectic coming at you. Now they have, this is to me is significant, is they've now exposed themselves by design. So that means soon we got to see the other side. It's called the dialectic. It's like leapfrog, strategy, whatever. They've been keeping the ugly side busy, or excuse me, hidden all this time. Now they're revealing it through the Alex Joneses and Quails and all these to show the weakness of government, the tyrannical government we have. But we have a better government. Rick Joyner is the side of the better government, and he's a Knights of Malta, same thing as Boykin. You see, there's the trick right there. They're promoting the takeover. Literally, man. Nobody's arresting him. Nobody's arresting him. Nobody's visiting him. Nobody's picked him up. Come on now. They got to think we're dumb or something. Somebody out here, some guy on YouTube, takes a picture and he gets zapped with a taser, taken down, and everybody talks about it. John Jones was taken down by a taser. Here you got Rick Joyner on major TV saying we need to have a military takeover of the U.S. government. He's still around. Oh, please. You got to be kidding me. This is so, it's almost funny if it wasn't so sad. Nobody's catching it. So few people are seeing the hypocrisy of this. The absurdity is the best word. It's ridiculous. It's almost mind-boggling. Okay. Family, it's time to go. Before I get started again, I'm starting to get cranked up again. I can't do that. We're at the end of the 9 o'clock hour. I'm real anxious to keep going. Some of this stuff is, you know, it's just so ridiculous. Lord, we thank you tonight for us to be able to come together in another Bible study, Father. We thank you for this network that we're able to continue airing. And sending out the word of God, Lord, that guide us, please, Lord, and keep us convicted if we fall away. Keep us in the spirit if we lose it. By conviction, your love and chastisement, Father, we thank you. Father, to give us that discernment and wisdom to see what's going on in the future, Lord, we can become watchmen and better prepare people around us. We thank you, Father, for tonight. And Father, we pray for more nights to come. These things we pray in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, our Savior. Amen. Well, family, I hope you got something out of tonight. I seem to learn things myself as when I go along. And I'll learn something new every day. That's the way it should be, I guess. So tomorrow, 4 o'clock to 6, broadcast. We'll see what happens with this Nevada thing. You know, how far they're going to take this, or they're just poking us a little bit. I don't know. Who knows? The global reset, financial reset, how far they'll take that. Who knows? You know, I just know they've lost. I'm waiting for the tribulation to start. That's what it boils down to, really. Then you're going to have an idea what's coming next. He's told you already. Seven seals, seven trumpets, seven bowls. We're not there yet. Don't let the worry and all the what they're doing, you know, cause you to flip out and all this new doctrine and what's this one? Gospel of Jesus' wife likely isn't a modern forgery, scientists claim, unquote. Well, now they got two problems there. One, he didn't have a wife. And two, she didn't write anything as Gospel of Mary. Isn't this sneaky? Man, they just won't quit. This won't quit. This goes along with the serpent seed. This goes along with the same belief and heresy of the Christian identity. It's all connected together. Knights Templar, protecting the chalice, and all this Da Vinci, Dan Brown, whatever. Family, when it gets down to it, they're going to be on their knees praying to Jesus Christ. That's what it's going to boil down to. Y'all have a good night. Say your prayers now, y'all here. And we'll see y'all tomorrow. This is the Watchman signing off.
Of God in helpless pain.
Good night. God bless. Sleep well. Signing off.